what?
The sequel.
All right, y'all may be seated.
So I found on the app that I use that helps me with sermon prep and all that, it has a way and it tells you how to pronounce these names. I like Melchizedek. I don't know about you guys, but I, you know. Melchizedek. Melchizedek is the way it's supposed to be done. So Melchizedek. Okay. So anyway, just bear with me, folks. Buckle up. We're on a ride this morning. Okay. Our great high priest. We serve a great high priest. We're going to be taking a look at the way this was originally set up. I mean, if you're familiar with your Old Testament, you know that Aaron ends up being the one that God chooses out of the Israelites and his family, end up becoming the priests for the Israelite people. But then when Christ comes, there's a whole new covenant that's set up in a whole new way that we can come to our God, and no longer do we have to go through the human priest, but now we've got our great high priest, and we'll get into that a little bit more. So Melchizedek, the sequel, because he plays a huge role in this. Once again, somebody that probably doesn't even have 15 minutes of fame in the Bible, but boy, he has a huge setup for the way Christ comes into the world and Jesus becomes our great high priest. So let's read our scripture this morning, and then we'll have prayer, and we'll have a couple more praise and worship songs, okay? For this, Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth, part of everything. He is first, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Let's pray. Father, once again, we just come to you this morning. Father, I pray through these scriptures this morning that we can see who our great high priest is, but Father, also what we need in order to have peace within our lives. And Father, just that we can just take hold of the scripture here, and Father, just live lives that are for you, Lord, that we can be your disciples, your servants, Lord. Father, wherever you need us. So once again, be with us. Help us to lift your name on high over these next two songs. And then, Father, once again, just help us to focus in on your spirit this morning and what you're trying to say to us. We ask all this in your name. Amen. No, that's sort of the same. Well, no, it's not sort of the same one from last week. It is the same one from last week. But it's very appropriate for what we're going to be talking about today and what we're going to be hearing today. The Bible is such an important part, should be such an important part of who we are in the life that we live, in the way that we can find answers to life's problems. If I'm not careful, I'll get ahead of myself here. So let's go ahead. We're going to, once again, we're going to read the scripture from this morning that I already read, and then we'll start breaking it down. But there's just, you know, for a person that was talked about clear back in Genesis, when we're talking about Abraham and the promise that was made to the Israelite people through Abraham, the promise directly made to Abraham, and you get this guy that's just there for just a blip, but has huge ramifications on everything that we see in the way that we can look at Christ. Just huge. So, for Melchizedek, the king, or king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to Abraham apportioned a tenth, part of everything. He is the first by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. See how great this man was to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils? And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. First thing we're going to talk about this morning that is in order for us to gain peace, we must repent of our sin. If we take a look at these first three verses that we're preaching from today, we can see it says, according to translation, that Melchizedek was first a king of righteousness. First three verses. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. And to him, Abraham apportioned a tenth of everything. He is first by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. And then he is also King of Salem, that is, King of Peace. He is without father or mother or genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but resembling the Son of God, he continues a priest forever. In order for us to have peace with God, we must repent of our sins. Why? God is a God of righteousness. He cannot look on sin. He just can't do it. Because of who he is, he cannot look at sin. In order for us to have peace in our lives and be able to follow our God's leading, we have to confess our sin. We have to be rid of it. This is something that we really should do daily. We should start out each day with prayer. Maybe even some people would say close the day with prayer as well, so that you can confess the sin that has been committed during the day. And you know what? There may be sin that you know about, and there may be some that you don't know about. But still going to our Father and saying, Lord, please forgive me for the ones that you know. Because listen, if you ever have a day that you haven't sinned, please let me know. Because you've got something, you got a better take on this than what I do. Okay? I'll never forget the time I had a kid ask me a question at church camp one time. It was actually on abortion. And let me tell you something. These kids, when they ask questions, this was years ago, super summer, Glenville State College, senior high, and I had a girl just, I can't even tell you what the other subjects were. But she just looked at me and she said, is abortion wrong? And Rick, right off the top of his head, said, yes. And then it hit me. What happened if she's had one? What happens if she has a friend that had one? What happens if her mother had one? How do I, and once again, Rick's not this smart. But God gave me something. And I said, you know what, though? It took the same amount of blood on the cross to forgive that sin as it did the white lie that I might have told my wife on the way here. Simple fact is, Christ had to die on the cross for our sin, period. Doesn't matter what the sin is, Christ died on the cross for our sin. And we come to Him in prayer daily, asking Him to forgive us our sin, to help us do better, to convict us of sin that we're not aware of. Father, convict me of the sin that I may have done today so that I can do better the next. Convict me so that I know what those were, so that I can be a better witness for you. Even though that blood that was shed on the cross is sufficient to cover our sins, we need to confess them daily for the transgressions, for when we mess up. Those who have accepted, or those who have never accepted the gift of salvation, will continue to live in sin. Listen, it doesn't matter how good a life somebody lives. If they are without the salvation work of Jesus Christ on the cross and come to accept Him as Lord and Savior of their lives, they're going to die in sin. Once again, that's simple. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Galatians 5:16-17, but I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Rely on the Spirit. That's where I was talking about praying that the Spirit will convict you of sin so that you can walk in the Spirit and so that you can live lives that will show His love. Romans 3:10, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. Our study that we've been doing on Wednesday nights, it's been on evangelism. And we just finished it up this past week. But one of the things that our lessons has stretched out is really, you know, with the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden, we as humanity all start out at the same place. We all start at the same place. We are all sinners. Period. Once again, seems like I'm saying period a whole lot here this morning. We're all sinners and we come short of the righteousness of our God. We fall short. Because of this, it's very important we be mindful of what we do and think of how our actions can not only cause harm to our relationship with God, but can also cause harm to our witness of what Christ did for us on the cross. As Christians, we are called to be different. We are called to be different. We are not to walk the way other people walk. We are not to live the same lives that other people live as Christians. We are supposed to have a hope and a faith that cannot be matched by what the world has to offer. We can't. If we do, we're inhibiting the Spirit and what He can do. There, Ginger and Ken, Petra. Anybody remember the old Christian group named Petra? One of my favorite songs, and it came out, or I listened to it right after my great-grandmother had passed away. And it was one of the songs that I absolutely loved. It was, "We are strangers, we are pilgrims, we are not of this world. We are here as Christians. We are here for a time. And when we accept Christ, we know that this time that we're here is limited, and we're going to see our Father one of these days. But listen, if we want to compare it to pilgrims, when they came over from England, when they got here, did they just sit here and say, 'Well, we made it'?" They did that. They were in a world of hurt to begin with when they got here. They had no idea what they were getting into. And you read about early history. I've always told people, if I hadn't become a music teacher, I'd have been a history teacher. I love history. I love history. You read about what all the pilgrims went through when they first got over here. And we're not only talking the English, we're talking the Spanish, we're talking the French. All of these groups, when they got over here, there was a struggle because they'd never encountered anything that the U.S. had in all their lives. And so it took them quite a while. But we are different. We're to be different. We are not of this world. Romans 12:12. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So how do we renew our minds? How do we do that? First off, you need to spend time in the Word of God. You need to spend time. Now listen, I'm not talking about getting up in the morning, getting your devotional out, or getting your reading plan out. Maybe you got a reading plan that you're doing. And you sit there and you read through it, and then you go, check, and put the Bible down. Folks, that's all well and good, but that's not going to renew your mind. We need to spend time in the Bible. I can read a book. I've read many books. I'm an avid reader. I love books. Once again, that's one of my things. Usually during the summer, I've got two or three that I'm reading. When we were at the beach a couple weeks ago, I've got a book that somebody gave me on Walter Cronkite. Okay? I know for some of y'all, you're like going, "Who?" Walter Cronkite was really the news anchor that transformed CBS News into what it was back in the day. Okay? Back in the day. But it's really neat to read that book and see how he not only, you know, was the one that sort of rooted CBS News, but CBS News grew up with him as he became that anchor. And it's really, really an interesting read. I'm enjoying that book. Am I going to live my life by that book? I hope not. He's quite the character. Who you saw on that CBS Evening News was not his life. But I can read that book for entertainment. The Bible is not for entertainment. It's not something which is simply to be read, check something off your list that you do in the morning, and move on with your life. You need to spend time meditating on His Word. You need to spend time so that it has an impact on your life. There is nothing wrong with getting a devotional and working through it and using that to help you get into some deeper things. You know, we've got Bible study groups here. We've got small groups that meet here Sunday mornings and at 9 o'clock. They will be there to provide you with a lot of discussion and digging deeper into the Word of God. We're talking about Wednesday night with Awana, with the kids. What better way to plant that seed in our kids' lives than giving them the tools that they're going to need for when they grow up? Mark's out with our youth right now, and he's doing the same thing with them. We need to pray for these groups, folks. Many moons ago, I worked with the youth group, and the thing that I wanted to do with them, I didn't want them to stand on what mommy and daddy knew. I wanted them to be able to stand on their own faith. Because when they got into college and walked out the door without mommy or daddy there anymore, they can't stand on that anymore. Because I'm telling you, there are groups out there that will challenge them. I saw two of my friends, one of them went to the church, and I wish I could remember the youth pastor's name. He was huge in Pittsburgh when I went to college. He would go all over the nation. She's one of the ones that got pulled to Mormonism. Because what they said, what they brought to her was just enough with what she grew up with that it sounded good. And she fell into that. She wasn't the only one. There were two or three others that I had to do that as well. Because of that, and seeing that happen was the reason why I wanted my kids in the youth group here to have a good, solid foundation so that they knew what the Bible said and they could stand on their own. Don't tell me what mommy and daddy says. Tell me what you think. Dig a little deeper. And we need to be prepared to do the same thing. Bible study, devotionals, teach. Oh, you want to be challenged? Dig and teach a class sometime. You're going to be challenged. There are so many things out there which are available to us right now. You know, online, my devotion books that I have, they're online. Why? Because I have them with me all the time wherever I'm at. My books, most of my books that I read are online so that I have them with me. Walter is not. The one thing that I do ask you to do is make sure that the author of your devotion or the study that you're doing is credible. That they believe what we believe. The way you can find that out is you can read some background on the author. Online, you can look it up. You can ask people around here. I usually do that before I get into a study. I'd always, you know, Jason was here, and I'd say, "Hey, Jason, tell me about this guy," and he and I would talk about it. You can also ask others here. We've got a bunch of people here at the church that are far more knowledgeable than I am, that will help you out and make sure that you're in a good, solid devotion. I've got some that I can recommend to you as well, but you know, they're just make sure that they're good and solid. The next thing that you need to do is you need to spend time in prayer. And the scripture already talked about that, even when you're in the Word of God, spending time in prayer. Now, what do you need to do when you're in prayer? How do you need to focus these prayers? In other words, it's not just now I lay me down to sleep. Dear Lord, bless our food. Spending actual time with God. The first thing that I always try to open a prayer with when I'm spending my time with God is to thank Him for who He is. Thank Him and praise Him for who He is, for the gift of salvation. Thank You for this opportunity that we have to pray to You, to bring these supplications and all this, but God, thank You for who You are and that You love me and that You care for me. This is your way of worshiping God each day, starting your day with a worship service with God in your prayer. The next thing that you need to do in order to get everything right is to confess that sin that we've talked about. Be honest with God. These are the sins. Father, convict me of the sins. Father, help me with my day to day. You need to let know God of the sin you are aware of and ask for forgiveness. And then we talked about earlier allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you of those sins. Remember, our Father Our Heavenly Father is willing to forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How are we made righteous? Through the blood of Jesus Christ and the confession of our sins, because He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And that's the way the unrighteous can become righteous in the eyes of our Father. After confessing your sins, thank God for the prayers He's answered. For the little things. My little things are getting ready to happen. Thank you, Lord, for the sixth graders listening today. You all that are teachers are starting to smile. This is our last week of freedom. Pray for us. Thank Him for the little things. Thank Him for the big things. Father, thank You for answering that prayer, that the test results that I had done came back good. Father, thank You for the test results that came back that showed what's going on. And now we can get a game plan together. Praising Him even in the midst of the storm that you might find yourselves in. After you've done that, come to Him with your requests. Father, I thanked You for the test results that You allowed us to be able to see what was going on. Now, Lord, either heal me with Your touch or use the talents that You've given doctors and the meds that You've given us to heal me. Father, I pray for my kids today. Father, I pray for this, I pray for that. I ask You for this, I ask You of that. And then finally, when you're done with all that, come to Him and thank Him again for who He is, for this joy, this opportunity you have to come to Him. You're gonna be amazed how quickly a half hour will go. And it won't feel like that. It won't feel like that. I'm going to touch real quick. We're going to move on. But these are ways that you can renew your mind and keep things going. I also find myself when I'm going through the hallways. I teach at Blennerhassett Middle School, if y'all don't know that. So I find myself going through the hallways, and I'm either got a tune going in my head or I've got prayer requests going through my head all through the day. It works that way. Some of y'all know that I have the voices in my head, okay? So most of the time they're okay. Just touching real quickly on verse 3, I don't want us to get hung up on this. This is really just talking that this is the only time that Melchizedek, there we go. See, I said it so wrong at first, but it's the only time that he's mentioned. We don't hear about mom, dad. We don't hear about him dying. This is just saying that he was there and that he didn't inherit his position as king of his people and being a righteous king and a priest. He didn't inherit that. He was there. It was given to him. He assumed, if you want to say, he assumed the role, and he was looked at so much by the people and area around him that that's the reason why Abraham gave him the tithe, because he had that reputation. He was known as a righteous king first, but then he was also known for the peacefulness of his kingdom. So just understand that that's what this area is saying. However, it does say that he resembles the Son of God in this. So don't read any more into it. However, like I've been saying all along, his reign sets up the reign of Christ in the way that we can look at it. Consider the greatness of Christ. Consider who he is. Let's finish up the rest of the scripture. So how great this man was to Abraham, the patriarch, gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who received the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man who does not have his descent from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. So who was Abraham? If you don't know who Abraham was, once again, we talked about Abraham was the father of the Jewish people. He is the one where their race starts. God promised that a nation would come out of him. Even though he and Sarah were really old, he promised that this was going to happen. He's the one they traced their entire people from. We as Gentiles, and yes, that's who we are, unless you're in here and you've come from the Jewish faith. We as Gentiles can trace our genealogy all the way back to Adam and really Noah, if you think about it. Since Noah was the only one that was left alive, that's where we can trace our ancestry back to. He is one of the most important figures in the Jewish faith. Without him, there wouldn't be a Jewish faith. He is their patriarch. Adam paid a tithe to a person who was not a part of the Jewish faith. He was a worshiper of God. Somehow, Melchizedek came to the knowledge of who God was and worshiped and praised him and had his kingdom do the same. However, he was not part of the Jewish faith. Abraham, who was called by God to leave his country and go establish an entire heritage group of people / faith, all on his own with God's calling, paid that tithe to Melchizedek. Melchizedek was held in very high esteem, I've told you. Once again, his name meant righteousness. In the city or area he was ruler over, Salem meant peace. The other rulers of this area recognized him for who he was in the way that he reigned. It fits that you would pay tithes to the superior, and the superior would be the one that would give the blessings. Jesus brings the new covenant to us. Jesus brought the new covenant. 2 Corinthians 5:19. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. When Jesus came into the world and died for our sins and rose on the third day, he established the new covenant for us. God, through the sacrifice of his son, provided a way for us to be reconciled with him. This was so we could be made righteous in his sight, and he would be able to look on us. In this scripture, and through that blip of Melchizedek, we are reminded that our high priest is superior over the high priest who was established by men. Yes, God directed Moses to name Aaron or Levi, like it was in the scripture, to name Levi the ones who would lead the people in their religious practices and rites. And his family would do that for the rest of the time for the Jewish people. However, our high priest was placed in that position by his heavenly Father. And it wasn't a position that he sought. God gave it to him. There will never be another like him. He, in the same order as Melchizedek, is king and priest, and he will serve in this role without end. Jesus is our high priest who was established by God. How much greater is the high priest than all that has been established before that time? Our high priest is Jesus Christ, Son of our living Lord. Our high priest actually paid the price for our sin through his sacrifice made on the cross. Our high priest conquered death on the third day and rose from the grave to where we don't have to worry about death anymore because we know where we are destined. Our high priest bridged the gap between us and our heavenly Father. Our high priest will be our defender on the day of judgment, standing, sitting, whatever, by the right hand of the Father, and he's going to be the one that will stand in front of us on the day of judgment, and his Father will recognize the price that was paid for our sins and will welcome us into his kingdom because we have been made righteous through the sacrifice that our great high priest paid for us on the cross. One of these days, if you don't already know this great high priest, don't you want to? Don't you want to? Don't you want to have an assurance that when this life is over, that you know exactly where you're going and how you're going to spend eternity? Actually, we know how both of these sides work out. You accept Christ, you spend eternity with your heavenly Father because we are adopted into the family of God. If you do not accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, the simple fact is that you will have an eternal life as well. The only problem is that you will have an eternal life separated from God. You will have an eternal life that is pure torture. You will be separated from everyone and everything that you know. It's that simple. That simple. So, if you don't know that high priest today, we're going to have a time of invitation where you can come forward and say that you want to accept the gift of salvation that Christ paid for you on the cross, that he bled and died for your sins, that he rose from the grave, and that you confess your sins before him. And the joy of that is that once you're forgiven, you are forgiven. Even though we are supposed to confess those sins, that is something that we know and that we can hold on to that truth. If you want to talk about that, I'd be more than happy to talk with you about that, and we can set up a time where we can talk together. Or maybe there's somebody here that you'd rather talk with and have them lead you through that. Believe me, all I care about is your salvation. There is no skin off my nose if you don't want to talk to Rick, because I'm not important. I'm not important. The importance is your decision for Christ and what you do with that. If you've been maybe away from Christ, and maybe you haven't been serving him the way you should, you can rededicate. We can sit here and we can pray. And, you know, we can get you involved in either a Bible study group here or a devotion or something. But we can help you to dig more into his word so that you can be stronger and so that you can stand on your own. Or maybe you've been coming here and you want to become a part of this family. You want to become part of our church. We would love to have you. We are all about, listen, we're all about serving God. We're all about doing what we can to reach this community for God. We're all about praying for each other. We're family. We're family. Most of all, what I ask you to do today is be obedient to what the Holy Spirit has called you to do today. If that's to pray where you're sitting, then you pray where you're sitting. If that's to come forward, you pray coming forward. Whatever He's wanting you to do, be faithful to Him this morning. I'm going to pray. When I do, folks, when you come down, I will take this thing off and I'll mute it. Don't think it'll happen. Brett's got my back there as well, okay? So don't think that you'll be coming over the system or anything. I know that people might have that fear at times, but we've got your back, all right? The altar is open. Be obedient. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for today. Father, we thank you for the great high priest who is in heaven right now. Father, we thank you that he came to earth to live among us. And Father, to suffer through the same temptations that we did. But Father, he chose to live a perfect life. And Father, become the sacrifice for our sins. Father, that you loved us that much that you not only allowed him to go through that, but saw him on the other side of it when it was over. And Father, that your Son loved us that much that he went through that agony on the cross by putting our sins on him. Father, today, if there's someone here that has never accepted the gift of salvation, we pray that through the conviction of your Holy Spirit today, that they would come to the decision that they need this in their lives. Father, that they recognize who you are and the price that you paid for them on Calvary. Father, for those who may be Christians and maybe have found themselves away, Father, or not walking as close, I just pray that today would also be the day that they would also decide to turn around, Father, and realize that you've been there all along waiting for them to reach a hand up so that you could hold them and pick them back up, dust their knees off, and let's go at it again. Father, for those who might be thinking about membership here, Father, I just pray that if this is where you want them, that, Lord, that this is where they would step forward and come down, Father. Father, most of all, just help us to be obedient to your Spirit this morning and what you are calling us to do. Father, thank you so much for who you are, and Father, for the gift that you've given to us. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. If you would stand for our invitation.
To Good morning. There we go. All right. Good morning, everyone. I'm Eric Clark. I am your deacon for the week. If there's anything I can do or the deacons or the church can do, please reach out to us. There's the number. If I don't answer, please leave a message. I'll call you right back. So let's go in prayer for the offering. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning, Lord, just this time of worship that we have to give back a portion of what you have blessed us with. Lord, I just thank you for this gift of this church where we can come to worship you openly and freely. Lord, I thank you for the gift of the internet where we are able to reach out to those who are unable to make it here with us this morning. Lord, just help us use these gifts and offerings and tithes to do your will throughout our community. Lord, help us reach those lost around us. And Lord, I just thank you again for your son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
All right. If you would, just have a seat 1 second. I'll keep this. Dave Post, who is chairman of our pastor search committee, has a report to give to y'all today. So continue to remember them, and I'm sure he'll tell you the rest of the committee again.
Well, I promise this is going to be quick, because I'm just as hungry as you are. But as part of the pastor search committee, it consists of Kevin, Melissa, Eva, Eliza, and Lawrence. We have received all of our surveys. They've got them back, and we thank you for all the positive responses. And most importantly, we thank you for the prayers. But now the job has been posted as of August 4th, and we will be accepting resumes until September 9th. And my understanding is we've received several already, so it's real positive. We're excited about this. Hope and pray that you're excited about this and to continue to pray for us and who God wants. So in all of our meetings, we always close in prayer.